Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com. Hello there, Reds fans. Welcome back to yet another thrill-packed edition of the Red Leg Nation Radio podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson, coming to you on demand from Red Leg Nation World Headquarters. Pretty impressive sounding, huh? It's a whole lot more important than it really is, which is nice. Thanks for joining us again today. Got a pretty interesting interview for you today. Jeremy Horst, 23-year-old left-handed pitcher, pitching in Sarasota, a draftee of the Reds in 2007, and pitching extremely well in Sarasota, as we'll get into in the interview. He joined us for a brief chat over the phone today. If you have issues with the audio, we're trying to get the phone lines fixed here at the World Headquarters. Hopefully that's going to be done this week, and our audio issue should be completely solved at that point. But it's a pretty good interview. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Jeremy's a bright young man, and we had a really, really good talk here today. So without further ado, going to go ahead and jump right into our talk with Sarasota pitcher Jeremy Horst. All right, we're here today with Jeremy Horst, a 23-year-old left-hander in the Reds organization, pitching for Sarasota right now. How are you doing today, Jeremy?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. I know you had sort of a tough one last night. We'll get into that in just a moment, but I thought if you didn't mind, we'd start talking about how you got to the point you are today. You're having Jeremy's having a very successful season this year in a lot of ways. We're going to discuss some of that, but I see you were born in Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming, but I understand you grew up sort of all over the place. Is that true?
Yeah, I was born in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and my father was in the Air Force, so we moved around a little bit in northern Michigan, and then I spent the majority of my high school years and things like that in North Dakota. So that's where I spent the last 7-8 years, was in North Dakota before I headed off to college. So.
And I think you pitched 4 years of college ball. How'd you end up in Georgia, of all places?
You know, I got drafted out of high school, and the scout had set me up with the junior college outside of Omaha, Nebraska. So I went there for 2 years to Iowa Western Community College, and then I had pitched against a team in Colorado, and who the pitching coach down in Savannah was real good friends with their head coach over at that program. So gave him a call looking for players, and that coach had dropped my name to him and, you know, let him know what college I went to. So that was one of my recruiting trips, and went down there on a visit and loved it and agreed to sign there.
Yeah, Savannah, Georgia. I imagine that's a lot better weather than what you experienced in North Dakota.
Yeah, it was definitely a change going down there. Had to get used to the humidity and the hot and mugginess every day, but, you know, it was definitely great weather.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago getting drafted out of high school. You were actually drafted twice by the Pirates, I guess, in 2003 and 2004. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I was drafted in the fourth round my first year, and then the 41st round my second time. So,
why didn't you sign either one of those times?
I know it was one of those draft and follow things. The Pirates knew that they liked me, but they wanted to see me grow and develop a little bit more. So they wanted to make sure that they own my rights and things like that. But I never really got the opportunity to talk contract or the opportunity to sign. So,
is that right? Well, then in 2007, the amateur draft, the Reds took you in the 21st round, I guess. And won't you tell us, if you could, what draft day was like for you this last time around?
Yeah, you know, I just woke up, went to work, you know, I tried to treat everything as a normal day as I could, and then, you know, I was out at work, and I got a phone call, actually, from my head coach, Joe Roberts, down there in Savannah, congratulating me and saying I'd been taken, you know, 21st round, so I told my boss I was going to take the rest of the day off, and he was perfectly fine with that, so I was plenty excited to be drafted, and to get into professional baseball and start making my way up.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, you pitched, I think, one game in the Gulf Coast League, then you headed off to Billings now, which is sort of your area of the country anyway in a lot of ways. How was your experience up there in Billings?
Yeah, you know, I love that whole up north and in the Montana country and things like that. And there's long road trips, and they got kind of tiring after a while, but I love being up in that part of the country and playing in some of the places up there like Missoula and Helena and things like that up there in the mountains a little bit. So, yeah, you know, it was nice being over in Billings, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from home. So it was nice.
Yeah, you know, I went to college in Charlottesville, Virginia, but one of my roommates in college was from Montana. And goodness, this guy, you know, I've never seen anybody that was in love with their state or with that region of the country more than this guy was. He just loved that area. There's something unique about that area of the country, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of pride, a lot of good people up there that take pride in what they do for a living and take pride in where they live and things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of good people up there.
Now, you played at Cobb Field, the old ballpark, right, up there? You weren't there when the new ballpark opened.
No, they were, as soon as our season was done up there, I think they started demolition on the old Cobb Field the day after. So they didn't get a chance to go up there and see or play at the new field.
Now, while you were at Billings, you had a 3.18 ERA, I believe, but every game was in relief. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was. I kind of got off to a little bit of a rough start, but started to figure things out as the end of the summer came to, but yeah, all my appearances were in relief.
And then last year you spent the entire season at Dayton. Now, everyone that we talked to just sort of, and of course obviously we've been to games at Dayton. How much fun was everyone raves about playing in Dayton in front of, you know, 9,000 fans or whatever every night. How much fun was that playing in Dayton?
Oh man, it was a blast. You know, every day you showed up to the ballpark, you knew that there was going to be, you know, like I said, a packed house just waiting to get in the gates and cheer. They're real passionate people about their baseball out there, and they love the Dragons. So, you know, it was a blast. It's a good crowd. It's a little bit older crowd. It's a more family atmosphere. You know, you don't get too many fans that get rowdy. You don't have to get too much to drink and start heckling and things like that. It's a good family atmosphere, and it's a lot of fun to play up there. And like I said, you know, you don't ever get disappointed. Every night you know it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's good motivation when you're going out there and playing in front of that many people.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, you had a good year last year, 8-2, 2.38 ERA. But, again, you started the season in the bullpen, and then 10 of your last 11 appearances were starts, though. Do you prefer starting over relieving?
You know, I kind of appreciate the value of each position. So, you know, I really love starting. I love being able to take control of the ballgame and just staying in there as long as I can and giving my team the best chance and best opportunity to win. But, you know, I also love coming out of the bullpen, and whether your team needs a big stop or to keep guys in scoring position and leave them on base and get out of a big inning and things like that, or to make sure that your team stays ahead, you know, I also love coming in and doing that. That gets your adrenaline going. But overall, I'd say I like starting a little bit better, yeah.
Do you think that when you started in the organization after being drafted and then throughout last year, do you think the Reds had sort of a role in mind for you as a reliever, or was it just something where there hadn't been an opportunity to get you some starts, or do you think they had you sort of pigeonholed in one way or the other early on?
Yeah, you know, I really don't know. I'm not sure. But those opportunities came where, I had a chance to get in and fill in for some innings. And you know, I did that, and I did well at coming in and eating up innings and doing spot starts and coming in the fourth inning and pitching to an ace and things like that. So I think the further I went along, they realized and felt comfortable of, leaving me in there for four and five innings. And then I started getting some starts and going five, six, seven innings. So, I think they're just starting to realize, that as long as I'm in there, I'm going to pitch as hard and as long as I can. So,
One thing that we talked to a number of guys in the Reds minor league system, and one of the things that sort of gets brought up over and over is, as a minor league guy trying to make your way up, is taking advantage of when that window of opportunity opens up. And with Dayton last year, you got those 10 starts, and you went 5-0 with a 1.64 ERA and held opponents to a 201 batting average. And I can't imagine a much better way of sort of jumping through that window of opportunity and really getting a chance to really show what you can do. That's an outstanding run of games there.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Chad. Like I said, it was a lot of fun playing pitching in the Midwest League, and I was fortunate that we had some pretty big games at home in Dayton, and the fans were behind me, so that kind of pushes you along and gets you through some tough innings. But every time I went out there, I just tried to worry about, pitch for pitch. I didn't try to worry about the end of the season or what was going to happen or, I got to do this or that. I just tried to take every pitch for what it was and every hitter. And then as the innings rolled by, I tried not to look back.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you went into the off season here hoping to be in with Sarasota or higher by the end of this coming year. But now, did you do anything differently in the off season to prepare for this year? At all, since you thought you might be starting more, or was just same sort of off-season preparation?
I tried to come last spring training. I came in and my shoulder was a little bit tired, and it was kind of, I had a little bit of dead arm coming through the tail end of spring training, and I didn't feel as strong as I felt I could have been. So this year I threw a lot earlier. I started throwing, middle of December, and made sure that my arm strength was up and going to be there when I came into spring training and trying to avoid some of those dead arm problems. So that's about the other thing. Other than that, I made sure I ran 4 or 5 days a week, had good cardio and just throwing more. So that's about all.
Do you set goals for yourself before each season?
Not before each season, I kind of say, well, it'd be nice if this happens, or, that'd be pretty cool if this happens. But, as far as goals, that's mainly a start-to-start basis. And the goals that I usually have are just, the players that are hot on the other team, I try to keep them off the bases as much as possible. And I try to go at least 6 innings every outing and giving my team a chance to win, versus, if I come out of a ball game and it's, 4-2, we're winning. Or if I come out and it's, 1-0 and we're winning, I feel like, put my team in a pretty good position to win that game. So that's basically the goals that I have.
All right. Now, every game this year, obviously, with Sarasota has been a start for you. And the question that I think is interesting is, how much different is playing in Sarasota versus playing in Dayton? I know you got the 9,000 fans or whatever in Dayton every night, and a lot of nights it's 300 fans or less in Sarasota. Is it tough to adjust to that? And how big a difference is there playing in Sarasota versus Dayton?
Dayton was a trip, and it's really hard to even compare the two. You come down to Florida and it's a heck of a lot hotter and muggier and things like that. And we've had a bad spell with some rain lately, but coming down here it's kind of like a load a little bit off your shoulders, so you can come out here and it's easier to get relaxed and kind of focus in on what you're going to do. So, in comparison up in Dayton, it's good that they have all those fans and it gets you excited and gets that adrenaline going, whereas pitching down here in Sarasota, it's more relaxed. You can kind of hang out and keep your focus.
Right. Is there have you been able to tell? I know obviously there is some difference, but what about in terms of talent levels between the two levels, Sarasota and Dayton?
I'm definitely hitting because, you know, they got a lot of good prospects down here, and each team's got three or four guys that can hurt you. So I'd say that's the biggest change and the biggest difference is just the hitting.
And I imagine that, you know, as a 23-year-old guy, living in Sarasota has got to be a lot of fun, too, as compared to Dayton.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's a lot of opportunities to, whenever you get some free time, you can go out to the beach and things like that. You know, when my family comes down, my daughter comes down, I like to go out to the beach. And it's fun to be able to have those opportunities to go out and get away and escape from baseball a little bit because it's a grind all summer long. And, you know, you'll go nuts if you don't get out there and relax and have some fun.
Yeah, definitely. Now, last night, of course, for those that don't know, you had sort of a tough loss. Well, the very definition of a tough loss last night, I guess. You threw a complete game, gave up only three hits and one run, struck out six, walked only two, but were on the losing end of a 1-0 score. Tell us about that. How tough was that last night?
You know, it was tough. You know, I've pitched against these guys a few times, and each game, it's like they're always in there battling, and they always get to sneak by, you know. You know, that one run I gave up, Stanton had a sacrifice fly to get the runner in from third base, and, you know, that was the only run of the game, and, you know, it's tough to go out there and lose a game like that, you know, but at the same time, I know my guys are up there at the plate battling and trying to do everything they can to win, so, you know, I don't put it on them at all. Some days, you know, like, you know, it's going to happen like yesterday where, you know, I lose a game 1-0, but who knows, a couple of weeks from now, I might win a ball game, you know, 6-4 or something like that, or 7-6, you know, where my team's going to be behind me and score some runs when I really need it, you know. So, yeah, last night was a tough loss, but there's nothing I can say or do about it, and I'd go nuts if I sit here and think about if we would have scored that run or wouldn't have thrown that pitch right there, and he, you know, if he would have hit that fly ball a little bit shorter, but I just, it was tough, but take it for what it is and start getting ready for my next start.
And that kind of goes back to what you were saying just a moment ago. You know, you after eight innings, giving up one run and only three hits, you've done what you could to put your team in a position to win. That's why a lot of us don't like to look at the win-loss stats, because there's not a whole lot you can do better last night to put your team in a position to win. It's just, you know, happened to be a night when the bats couldn't get going. I'm sure that's frustrating, but on the other hand, you've got to understand that you've really done your job as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I agree. I went out and pitched well and came out, and my team definitely had a chance to win, and we got pretty close there at the top of the ninth. Two outs, runner on second base, but, you know, just one of those things that it didn't work out. So
now, as we mentioned just a moment ago about the wins and losses, you've got a 2.33 ERA on the year now, which is obviously outstanding. But, of course, your one-loss record's 2-4. Really, frankly, we ignore that win-loss record because of things like last night. But 2.33, you've got to be pretty pleased with how you've performed on the mound so far this year.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy with the way things have been going. I've been working with pitching coach Tom Brown and starting to understand some more things about, you know, how to cut the ball and how to miss that bat, you know, by just adjusting how I pitch, you know, 4 to 6 inches lower in the zone and take away a lot more hits, a lot more than what people realize. So, you know, working with him every day and just, you know, trying to ask him questions and you know, use his knowledge has been a huge help. And playing for Joe Arroyo, you know, he's got a hunger and a desire to go out there and win every night. And, you know, he gets fired up when we do get those wins and those tough wins where we come from behind and things like that. So playing with a guy as fiery as Arroyo is and, you know, having a guy that's got enough, as much knowledge as Tom Brown does, it's definitely helped me along this year. So yeah, I'm definitely pleased with the way things are going.
And actually Tom Browning, the pitching coach, you know, there's one of the guys I wanted to ask about because, you know, obviously he's a left-hander like you and you feel like that's really beneficial for your development, being able to pick his brain some because he's obviously been through the wars.
Tom Brown is our higher pitching coach, but Tom Browning is the GPL.
Oh, he's the Gulf Coast League. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but he's down here as well, and, you know, he walks around the complex, and every once in a while I'll stop him and have a discussion with him. So, yeah, I've gotten some knowledge out of him also. But it's good having a guy like that around.
Yeah, you can tell I'm not in Sarasota every day. I got mixed up on that. But now, let me ask you about a couple other guys down there in Sarasota. These are guys that I'm sure are with you there. Devin Mesoraco, tell me about working with him, the former first-round draft pick, the catcher. Is he improving? What's it like working with him as a catcher?
He's definitely improving every day. You know, Errol being a catcher, he's been working with him and helping him out. And, he's got a lot of talent, and things are going to come together for him this year. So, yeah, every game he's been improving, working on, calling his pitches and working on his receiving. He's always been a hitter. Everybody knows that. So, on the defensive side of the ball, yeah, he's coming around, and he's a kid that likes to work hard and always like to learn. So he's a great guy to be around, and, yeah, he works hard. So I'm impressed with the way he's been doing this year.
Yeah, that's what everyone that's been around him says, is that he's still a really young guy, but he's improving. What about last year's first-round pick, Yonder Alonso? You got any thoughts about him after watching him for a couple months down there?
Yeah, he's another one of those guys that loves to win and he loves to work hard. He's working hard to understand the game and what he's got to do as a corner guy and how to hit around the middle of the lineup and how to use his power. So, yeah, he's another great guy to have in the clubhouse. He's funny and he's a good guy to talk to. But when it comes down to business and he understands when he does things wrong or when he knows he needs to do things different. So he tries to learn all the time from his mistakes and learns from watching the game. So, yeah, I'm impressed with him. And like I said, he's another one of those guys that's a good guy to be around.
Okay. Let's get back to talking about you. Now, Baseball America has said recently that you're kind of flying under the radar. Does that kind of frustrate you that you've really done nothing since you became a professional pitcher, but you've done nothing other than pitch and pitch very well? But maybe it seems like it's tough to get to people's attention a little bit. Is that frustrating from your perspective?
I mean, sometimes it can be when I sit down and start thinking, man, I'm doing well and, what's happening. But, I try not to let that get to me. And, I try to go out there and pitch because, I can't control what the front office is going to do or how everybody else is pitching at the other levels. So I try to just worry about the things that I can control and go from day to day.
And that's obviously the correct perspective. Just you take care of your business and things will sort of shake out on the other end. But on the other hand, at some point, if you keep pitching like you are, people have to notice. And so,
Now,
obviously, you haven't mentioned this, but there can't be any question that you're kind of itching to get up to AA Carolina as soon as you can. How much do guys in your position sort of watch the transaction wires and injuries and performances of other guys, trying to figure out when you may have a chance of being promoted? Do you do a lot of that, or is it a situation where you're just kind of just taking care of business and doing what you can and letting things sort of shake out?
Yeah, I just go about my own business. I really don't do too much checking. I don't go home right after a game and jump on the computer and find out how people are doing and things like that. I just, like I said, I try not to get caught up into it, and I find out what's going on with the other teams and what's going on with, certain individuals more from other people who call and tell me than I do, by myself. So, I wish everybody in this organization and everybody like that well, and there's a lot of guys out there throwing well. Like I said, I worry about going out there and pitching well. And, at the end of the day, all I can do is go out there and pitch, and that'll do the talking. That'll speak for itself, and everything's going to work out in the end. So, but yeah, I'm hungry for that opportunity and just wanting a chance to get up to the AA. So we'll have to see what happens for the rest of the summer.
Sure. Now, obviously, probably for your mental health, that's a good way to approach it. And that's sort of something I wanted to ask you about, was about your mental approach to the game and whether that's something that the Reds have stressed, do they stress that with pitchers? And how do you feel your mental approach has improved since becoming a pro?
Oh, it's improved tremendously. My first year, I was one of those guys where when I was pitching well, I was pitching very well. When I was pitching bad and things weren't going right, they snowballed in a hurry. you know, I had a lot of trouble with working too fast when things, when I started giving up hits and walking guys and runs started scoring and things like that. Everything always snowballed real quick, and I started working quicker versus now I've learned to slow the game down and made everything a lot easier than what it is. You know, a lot of times, you know, some guys make things too difficult and too hard on themselves, where Tom Brown really stresses, you know, just relax and throw the ball. He's going to hit a fly ball, or you're going to get that ground ball, and then we're going to get out of this inning, you know. So it's, he makes the complicated parts of the game very easy. So it's good to have that. So, yeah, I'm really happy with the way my mental approach to the game has been developing and being around guys that are teaching me stuff. So, yeah, it's improved tremendously.
Do the Reds have any kind of an organizational philosophy regarding pitching that you've been able to tell, anything whatsoever that they sort of teach consistently at all levels, or is it sort of just more tailored to the individual?
You know, they give us a lot of free range to go out and pitch our individual styles. You know, obviously if you don't, you start using off-speed pitches enough, then they'll get some mention and they'll tell you, hey, you need to start throwing a few more changes. But for the most part, they just let us go and do our own thing and pitch, have our own individual styles, which is actually really nice, because it's tough to go out there and pitch and worry about, well, 0-2 always has to be a fastball inside, or, you know, I got to throw 1-1 fastballs, or have to worry about other things like that. So it's a good thing that they let us, you know, kind of go on our own.
Yeah, it seems like helping you, allowing you to pitch to your strengths and things like that, seems like that would be, you know, I know in the past they've had these pitch to contact and things like those philosophies, but it seems like the way that you describe it now would be best for each individual pitcher, really, for maximum improvement, I guess, individually, if that makes any sense.
Yep, exactly. And the only thing that they just stress is attack the zone. You know, every pitch has to have a purpose, and just go out there and attack the zone and throw in competitive pitches, and other than that, it's all on us.
I assume, and maybe I shouldn't assume, but I assume that you hope that your future is as a starter. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I love eating up innings and going out there and pitching well for as long as I can, and you know, I'm starting to get the preparation down for the week-long preparation for that one start, and I'm kind of starting to figure out how that works for me. I'd definitely like to be a starter, but then again, if it comes out that I need to be a middle relief guy or an end-of-the-game type of guy, I'll make whatever adjustments I got to.
Whatever it takes to get to the big leagues, right?
Exactly. I'll do anything.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you may not know this. Maybe you do, but no one named Horst has ever played in the big leagues, so you're going to be a trailblazer maybe here.
Uh-oh, we're going to have to break that up.
That's right. There's time to break that barrier. Jeremy Horst, I want to thank you for taking some time for Red Leg Nation. We'll sort of wrap up here. We definitely wish you continued success and the best of luck in the future. Keep up the great work down there.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, hopefully maybe at some point in the future we'll be able to check in, maybe after you get up to Carolina here, hopefully as soon as possible, maybe we can check in with you again.
All right, I'll work on that.
All right, good luck, man.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Red Leg Nation Radio Podcast. Thanks to Jeremy Horst for joining us. I'm sure you'll all join Red Leg Nation in wishing Jeremy the best of luck the rest of this season and beyond. He's really off to a good start in his professional career. As always, if you've got any questions, comments, concerns about the Red Leg Nation Radio Podcast, send those to radio@redlegnation.com. If you've not already done this, go subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or via your favorite RSS reader. That's really the best way to ensure you don't miss a single episode of Red Leg Nation Radio. You can also check out the tab, the RN Radio tab up there at the top of redlegnation.com. It'll have links to every episode of the podcast, and you can listen to all the back issues of Red Leg Nation Radio. Thanks once again to all of you out there in the nation. This is Chad Dotson saying so long.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, We make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.